Okay, everybody say, it's good to have everyone back. Quite a few people are away the last couple of weeks, Baruch Hashem. Back to business, as we say. Just two interesting vartlach on the parsha that connect to what we're learning. They say, over Avraham from Rebbe Eliashiv. I didn't see it in print, but I saw it quoted. I heard it quoted. I saw it quoted. We had last week the Gemara. The Gemara talks about a chiv to teach a child to swim. So the Rebbe Eliashiv says a very nice drush pshat. He says, Lashita b'mayim doesn't just mean you teach your son to swim. Lashita b'mayim, he points out that in life, sometimes you have to go against the tide. He said, swimming, floating just means you go in the water and you float. You coast, so to say. Said Rabbi Yashiv, swimming means you're going against the tide. He says, we have to teach our children how to go against the tide. We're living in a world today where definitely the tide is not religious lifestyle. We're living in a world that is very, very anti-religion, and the secular world wants nothing to do with religion. It says, Rabbi Yashiv, that's challenging my life. Shita b'mayim means you don't teach your son how to swim to do laps so he chas v'sham doesn't drown in the pool. It says you have to teach your son how to go against the tide, how to fight all the movements that are pushing away from Yiddishkeit, all those that are pushing the currents, that are pushing you away from, spirituality. That's what you have to teach your son. And Taka works out very nicely with this week's parasha, because in last week's parasha, we talk about the fishes that we're allowed to eat. So we know that the simone tahara of a fish are if it has scales. So the Medrash writes, all the simonic tahara that we have by the fish is because those fish that are tar all swim against the tide. So that's what it means to be a yid. We have to always go against the tide. So that works out very nicely with Rabbi Yashiv saying, Lashita b'mayim means you're teaching your son to go against the tide. To swim doesn't just mean to coast to float, it means to go against the tide, like the kosher fish that we have in last week's parasha that were all made of all fish that are all swim against the tide. This is like the Medrash. One other thing, which is again not really if anyone noticed when they were doing Mavis Sedra, there was a pasuk on last week's parasha that talked about what we talked about last week. It says some loyse go. Torah said you're not allowed to touch a nevela, a dead animal. So Rashi said, what's it referring to? Rashi said it's referring to Oyla Regal. And he quoted our Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, where Gemara said in Rosh Hashanah that there's a din that you're not allowed to become Tomei before Yom Tif or on Yom Tif. That was Mamish Ar Sugi that we discussed last week, whether or not it applies to women or it doesn't apply to women. Steer maybe in Rashi, Rashash, we spoke about that last week. That was interesting. One last Nakuda that ties into Ar Sugya is there is a famous word from the Goyim. The Goyin writes that in this last week's parasha and the parashas of Eschanan, the Torah gave us the same prohibition of lois oisif, don't add on to a mitzvah, what we call today bal toisif. So the Goyin was bothered, why does the Torah repeat the same laugh twice? So the Goyin comes up with the yisoid. We actually had a whole share on this years ago, where the Goyin said there's two types of bal toisif. There's taking a mitzvah and adding on to a pre-existing mitzvah, and there's making a mitzvah out of thin air. Make a mitzvah yesh me'ayin. Those are the two types of Baal Tosif. So that's why the Torah writes it twice. One Baal Tosif is taking a pre-existing mitzvah and adding on to it. And one Baal Tosif is making up a new thing and calling it a mitzvah. The problem that the Echorinim have is if you looked in Rashi in last week's Parsha, and you looked in Rashi in Parsha's Veschana, you'll notice when Rashi describes the Lava Baal Tosif, he writes the exact same thing in both places. He says, what is Baal Tosif? Taking a pre-existing mitzvah and adding on to it. So if Rashi held like the Vilna Gaon, why doesn't he say two dinim? But the truth is, just to make things more complicated, and maybe we'll talk about this even in our sugya, is there's a Rashi in Rosh Hashanah. Rashi over there in Rosh Hashanah is talking about whether or not women are allowed to blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah. So Rashi says, no, a lady is not allowed to blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah. Since women are pata from shofar, if she blows shofar, she's nira kebal tosef. It looks like she would be violating bal tosef. So the Marsha right away jumps on Rashi and says, what are you talking about? That's not bal tosef. Bal Tosif is when you take a pre-existing mitzvah and you add on to it. Here, that's not what Bal Tosif is. Here, it would be making up a new mitzvah. The Torah exempts women, and now you're going to obligate women. So this Marsha might already be getting us to that shaila of the Goyin about two types of Bal Tosif. Again, much more to get to, but that just came up on last week's parasha. Now, the real drush on last week's parasha, very bekitzer, because they already used up a lot of time. There's a Mordik Ibn Ezra that everyone has to remember for life. Ibn Ezra writes on the Pasuk in Perek Yedalet and Revi, Bani Matam Hashem Alekechem, we are the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, writes Ibn Ezra, every Jew has to remember that Hashem loves us more than a parent loves a child. And very often we make the analogy of a parent to a child. Now the truth is, as parents, we all have to admit that at some points we made decisions, even for our children, that were not 100% for our children's best interest. And they were slightly our best interest, because we're humans, we have negias. I don't think any parent, and maybe very few parents, can say that every decision they made for all of the children was always 100% lishma, for the benefit of their children. It's impossible. We're humans. Humans have emotions, and we have negias. Says that Ibn Ezra, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond that. So when it says in the Chumash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Banim Atam, we're his children, writes to Ibn Ezra, he loves us more than a parent loves a child. He doesn't say this. That's my nekuda. What do you mean more than a parent? Because the parents for it have the gear sometimes. They make decisions where they send the kids to school and send them to camp and even in shidduchim and job. We have the gears because we're human beings. That's what we are. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no nekias. When he makes a decision for a child, it's 100% unadulterated toiv. And that's what Ibn Ezra writes. That a person has to remember that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does to him is only l'toiv. It's amazing. It's a short Ibn Ezra, but it's so powerful. Again, it's a much more of a bigger discussion, which I don't want to get into now, discussing tragedy and trauma. How do you deal with Banim Atam Hashem Lekechem Loisis Kai to do? Why we're not allowed to overly mourn over the death because we believe everything is good. But those words of Ibn Ezra, and Nesiv Shalom discusses this a little bit more in his Sefer as well. But those, just to me, those words are like, let's say, Hakdoma to El. You know, these are the words we have to remind ourselves for El. Again, and it's a relationship. If he loves us like a child, then we have to love him like a parent. If we love him like a parent, we have to behave like a child would behave to a parent, which means we have to, you know, keep his mitzvahs and his Torah and do things that would make him happy. So I think it's an amazing Ibn Ezra, short Ibn Ezra, but definitely words to live by, especially when things are slightly more complicated. Okay, now we can wish Mazel Tov to Stewie, right? Now it's okay? Okay, bro. We'd like to wish Mazel Tov to Stewie and his entire mishpacha and the engagement of his daughter. Baruch Hashem, I happened to know the chassan. He wasn't a full Talmud of mine. Grad, I think, right before he moved from Queens, they had a night sitter program. His last year in high school, I ran the night sitter program once a week that he was with me. But wonderful boy. I happened to know his parents very well, his siblings. Lovely, lovely family. Baruch Hashem, they used to daven in my shul. And the Mechotin is a Talmud of Rav Gusman, which is always geshmak. So we wish them a big Mazel Tov, a lot of nachas from her and all of your children and your grandchildren, a big, big simcha for all of us.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's nice to have everyone back, Baruch Hashem. It's been a little quiet the last couple of weeks, but it's good to see everyone's back. But everyone was away for good reasons, you know. It's always good to go away, get some vacation. It's good for everyone. Okay, but we're holding over here in the middle. Again, just a disclaimer. If anyone was looking why the shurim are not posted, I'm not in charge of posting the shurim. I have them. I mean, if you ask me privately, I'd be more than happy to send it to you. We have someone here who does post it, does not get paid, so I can't have time. When people work for free, you got to go with it. So we've been a little backlog with posting of the shurim. So hopefully they will go up sooner than usual.
But we're
missing last Sundays, yeah. But because we didn't have one Tuesday, that's maybe why. But if you need it, if you ever want the shurim, if you reach out to me, I can give it to you. I can send it to you quicker before it gets posted on the various websites. Okay, we left off last time. We were just starting the sugya of mitzvah zeishah zman gromo. And we started off with a chakir from Rav Gusman, where we were discussing what exactly is the reason why the Torah parted women from mitzvah seishas magromo. We'll use Rav Gusman's lingo. Is it a simin or is it a siba? Meaning, is there a specific reason why the Torah parted them, or there's no reason? The Torah parted them, and this is just happens to be the list of rules, the list of mitzvahs, where the Torah decided to parted them. And we started off with a very difficult gemara. And again, we could really spend many, many more weeks on this gemara, but I don't want to get totally bogged down. There's a very important gemara in Brachas number one. The Gemara in Brachas reads like this. The Gemara is discussing the obligations of women. The Gemara says that women are chayv in davening. Women have to daven. Zog the Gemara, why? The rachamei ninu. Because davening is rachamim, and a woman has to get mercy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore women have to daven. Now, that's the way the Gemara reads, the way we have the Gemara. Now, in Rishonim, it's very clear that there were other girsas in the Gemara. This was not the only girsa that the Rishonim had, but this is the girsa that we have. Where the Gemara says, the rachamim ninu, that the women have to daven, because davening is about rachamim, and they too need rachamim. The way the Gemara reads in our girsa, the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, mahu desayim, I would have thought, hoyol iksiv be'erev avoykev etzarayim, but I would have thought otherwise. Some people have the girsa pshita. I mean, of course, women have to daven. What are you thinking? Why would you think a lady doesn't have to daven? Of course, women have to daven. So I would have thought, says the Gemara, no. I would have thought, since when the pasuk describes davening, it says erev avoyki v'tzarayim ki mitzvah sasei shazman grama dami. I would think it's like a mitzvah sasei shazman grama, and if it's time sensitive, we know the rule: time sensitive mitzvahs, women are exempt. So therefore, says the Gemara, kamashmul, and that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. The chiddush of the Mishnah is that even though one would have thought, or maybe even it is time sensitive, nonetheless, for whatever reason, women are obligated. And the pashup pshat in the Gemara would be, the reason why they're obligated is because rachamim ninu. Meaning, even though we normally have a rule that women are exempt from time sensitive mitzvahs, but since I have this overly strong, powerful reason called rachamim, it kind of beats out the regular rule of zman grama. Now, we have an important Machlokes Rashi in Tosfos over here. A very, very difficult Machlokes Rashi in Tosfos. Tosfos quotes Rashi, and that's what Rashi says. I quoted it later. I'm not trying to hide anything. Tosfos quotes Rashi like this. The girsa that Tosfos has reads like this. Betfila pshita, avada women have to daven. Says the Gemara, no. The chassid, everybody keep it sorry, masicha, the hemlo, keep it sorry, my grandma, I rekamash, mother, rachamim ninu. Meaning, I would have thought that women are pater from davening, because davening is considered zman grom, it's time sensitive, and time sensitive women are pater. Kamash malon, they're chai because of rachamim. The Rashi loy garasle. Rashi did not have this goose in the Gemara. Why? Sherei tefila derabonani uma mitzvah sasei sheichi be. So the way Tosfos learns Rashi, not everyone learns Rashi this way, but the way Tosfos learns Rashi, Rashi said that there's no rule of zman grom applicable to davening. Since davening is derabonan, that entire exemption of mitzvah seishas zman groma from women is only by mitzvahs deraisas. It doesn't apply to mitzvahs derabonan, and if it doesn't apply to mitzvahs derabonan and davening is a mitzvah derabonan, there would be no havamina that women should be exempt. That's the way Tosfos understood Rashi, which means comes out an amazing Rashi. Means Rashi holds that the whole Mishnah and Kedushin that talks about women being part of a mitzvah and grammar only apply to mitzvahs asay midaraisa, not to mitzvahs asay drabon.
As I come to Chayis. Does everybody agree that tefillah is drabon?
No, not everyone agrees to that. That's also right. I said then could be Rashi would agree sometimes davening does become deraisa. And I mean Rashi is assuming in the daily davening that we have that davening is only drabonon, and therefore we would assume that there's no exemption on a mitzvah seishas mangrama midrabon. Now, before we get into Tosfos' kasha, what's the first kasha that jumps at you? What's the svara? What's the logic? The manushach. We had an Abu Draham, we had a kolboy, we had a tshuva from Rav Moshe, but they basically set up that the reason why women are exempt is because their time is not theirs. They're busy, they either have to take care of the husband, they have to take care of their children, but they're busy, and therefore we exempted them. So why would the rabbis not do the same thing? When the rabbi sat down and made a mitzvah, thank you. When the rabbi sat down and made a mitzvah, shouldn't they go like this? Well, listen, we know that women are busy in the Torah, exempted women, so why would they not do the follow the same cheshbin as the Torah? We have a principle called tikkun derabbanan kein deraisa tikkun. When the rabbis sit down to make up rabbanans, they try to structure it, copy it, to mimic the Torah as much as they can. So why would they not do the same thing here also? Why would they not say, listen, we know that the Torah exempted women from time, sense, and mitzvahs, we will do the same. That's kasha number one.
What, how many rabbanans do we have there that apply to this?
So we have, so that's the big kasha. The big kasha that we're going to see, and I was happy to find it's brought down in Rishonim. I thought that this was only a kasha from the Achronim. I found from early Rishonim. The problem is the main derabbanans that we have, that women are obligated in, let's say for example, we'll work with Chanukah, Dalet Kaisis, and Megillah, those three. All of those three mitzvahs, women are chayiv. Why? Because of Afein Bayis Hanes. I don't get it. Who needs Afein Bayis Hanes? They're all midrabbanan. According to Rashi, every mitzvah derabbanan women are obligated in. So who needs afein bayis hanes? That's a gavaldik kash, which we'll see later on. I turn the page. It was a kash of Yehuda Sir Leon, one of the great French Bali Hatayis, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. But that's, again, before we get with that kash, my kash is just in Svara. Why would the rabbanan not structure their mitzvahs after the Torah who already structured this exemption? That's my kash. Now, Tosfos has a different kash. What's Tosfos'
women, Rabbi? There's a person, I don't know, just has 10 servants.
Yeah, so we spoke about it. Rav Moshe talked about that in the tshuva. He makes it, the simple answer is what we call the loy plug. But yeah, Rav Moshe in the tshuva, and even in the Avud Raham in the Kolboy, they allude to this notion that not all women are going to be the same. But they assume that it's going to be a loy plug.
How can Rashi have his sheet to win? The Gemara has to do
Rachmi. Ah, Gvaldik Akasha. That's the Marshal's kasha. We'll get to that later. If Rashi's right, and just to speak it out, I don't want to get to it yet, but there's another kasha in Rashi. If Rashi's right that every mitzvah derabbanan, women are automatically obligated because there's no exemption of zman grama, so why does the Gemara have to say rachamim ninu?
Basically, why did the chachamim
ninu? Right, meaning the Gemara sounds like, if not for the fact that tefillah is rachamim, women would be pater. Why? According to Rashi, davening is derabbanan. Every derabbanan, there's no exemption of zman grama. That means men and women are equal. So who needs the svara of rachamim ninu? Good, that's another kasha. Marsha asks it. Rabbi Yehuda Sir Leon sounds like he's asking it also. We'll come back to that hopefully at some point as well. Let's see Tosfos' kasha. What's Tosfos' problem with Rashi? So we have a problem with Rashi in Lomdis. We have a problem with Rashi from Afin Bois Anes. But Tosfos has a different problem with Rashi. What's Tosfos' problem? Number two, middle, says Tosfos. Umikomokam Yeshli Yashiv. He says, I don't agree with Rashi that you have to change the gear. So, the Hala de Rabbonim. He says, what are you talking about? Halel is a din derabbanan. The nosha peturus mehai time of the mitzvah shemang gramahu. And women are pater from halel because of the exact same reason that it's a time sensitive mitzvah. Says Tosfos, how do I know women are pater from halel? He quotes a mishnah in sukkah. Let's say you have a lady who's reading the halel. So you can't just listen to her and be yotze with shemei koine. You have to read along with her and do your own kriya. Why, says Tosfos? It must be that since women are not obligated in halal, I can't be yotze with their reading. So if I have a man up there and the man reads, I can be yotze with the man's reading. But if I have a lady is not obligated. Now, the Gemara doesn't say they're not obligated because of man drama. But Taisviz is assuming halos, women are exempt of halos because of time sensitive, and halos only a mitzvah d'rabbanon. So says Taisviz, I have a Mefurish Mishnah, where you see that a halal, which is a mitzvah d'rabbanon, and still we apply the rule of Zman Grum. Halal on Yom Tov is d'rabbanon. Okay, make a little bit clear. This is referring to halal on Yom Tov, at least. Right? So we know that some halos are even lower. Let's, for example, halal today is only a minug. According to, right, is a halal, that's why Svarim don't make a bracha, and Ashkenazim do make a bracha. But a halal, we'll see, it's talking about halal on Yom Tov. Halal, at least on Yom Tov, is going to be a derabban. So Taisus has a bam kashan rasha. I have a Mefurish Mishnah, where the Mishnah seems to exempt women from a mitzvah derabban, and how could you say that there's no exemption from women by mitzvahs derabban that are time sensitive? Okay. So now we got to be masber this. So we're gonna have three mahalchim. How to be masber, we'll go in chronological order of the different gedolim. We'll start off with Rav Gusman. So Rav Gusman has a nice mahalach, a very simple mahalach, how to be mazbe, this mahalach is Rashi and Taisus. He doesn't answer Taisus' kasha from the Gemara in Sukkah, but he does give you a nice lomdusha mahalach to explain what's the mahalach. So again, the kudas of mahalach between Rashi and Taisus is, do we say that by mitzvahs derabbanan we follow the rule of Zman Grum and women are potter? Says Rav Gusman, number three, very geshmak, he says, v'nira dezeu bir pluktam. Said Rav Gusman, the Chakira that I started off with is exactly the Machloikis Rishayim. What was Rav Gusman's Chakira? Do we say Zman Groma is a reason why women are Pater? Or Zman Groma is just a fact? It's not a Siba, but rather it's a Simen. Meaning that we're not saying that women are Pater from time-sensitive mitzvahs because they're time-sensitive. But women are Pater from mitzvahs because Hashem decided to exempt them. Which mitzvahs did Hashem exempt them from? It happens to be those that are time-sensitive. But it's not the time-sensitivity which is why they're Pater. Classical Simen Siba type of Chakira. Now, it's Kedai to mention, we mentioned this many times, Rav Gusman writes, and it could be every mitzvah saseh has a different reason why women are potter, which would be a very interesting thing to think about. We always lump them all in one big book, right? Mitzvah Shemagam and women are potter all for the same reason. Says Rav Gusman, maybe not. Maybe according to the other side of the Chakira, that it's a Simen, not a Siba, it could be every mitzvah saseh has a different reason why the Torah exempted.
It has to be listened to.
Right. That's what he's saying. If you go with the Tzad of Simen, then it's really coincidence. It would be very strange to say like that. Okay, so says Rav Gusman Gishmak. That's the Machloikis Rashi, Taisus, and Brachas. He says like this, number three. V'nira d'zeu bir pluktan. The Tois v'savri, our Taisus holds, like Rabbeinu Yosef, Ukavu Draham, the Zman Gramu Zehu Simen. Taisus, Zehu Siba. V'tam, I want to make sure everyone was looking along. Okay, good. V'zehu Siba, v'tam lifter noshim, mimitzas to say. The chiv and the chotik and rabbanu kein der reis the tikkun mehay time a p'tiri nami maaseh the rabbanu says of course me very geshmak our taisus and brachas that says women are potter from mitzvah seisha has zman grama mitzvah rabbanu holds like Davud Raham. That there was a logic to why the Torah exempted women from zman grama. It wasn't random. There was a logic. What was the logic? Women are busy. Women are preoccupied. Their time is not theirs. They have shibudim. So therefore says taisus we should do the same thing for mitzvahs rabbanu. Very good. That makes a lot of sense, right? But here's where it gets interesting. Writes Reb Gusman Bad with Tzarech Ian, but I got one problem with my Shtekel Torah. Davud Raham Atzmo Yisham Hevi B'Shem Avinu Tam Debasei Derabon Shavso Isha Leish. Says Reb Gusman, what did I say in my Shtekel Torah? That Davud Raham is the one who gives us a reason for why the Torah parted women. Following that reason, we should apply it to the Rabbanans also. Except for the fact, writes Reb Gusman, that Davud Raham himself, who's the one who gave us the logic behind it, he happens to say that when it comes to mitzvahs d'rabbanan, women are not exempt from Zman Groma. That throws off the whole Shtekel Torah. What was the whole Shtekel Torah, according to Rav Gusman? That Davud Raham was the one who gave us this reason that women are mishubah to their husband, their time is not theirs, and that's why they're exempt from mitzvahs Zman Groma. Therefore, said Rav Gusman, that logic would apply to mitzvahs d'rabbanan also. And that's Pshat and Taisus. There's only one problem. Davud Raham himself holds like Rashi. The Avud Raham himself writes that when it comes to mitzvahs d'rabbanan, men and women are equal. There is no p'tur of Zman Grama when it comes to a mitzvah d'rabbanan. That seems to go against Rav Gusman's Shtekel Torah.
But aren't there some of the Divrei Torah as well that the women are chayavim on, like we said, Shabbos, Kol Shiyos.
Right. So whatever.
So that can be. It happens to be the six or seven mitzvahs that the rabbanan have fall into the category of the one that we have midoraisa.
No, but the point is, if you go with a logic like the Avud Raham, that there's a reason why the Torah exempted them, so then that reason should apply to the rabbanans also. And Davud Raham himself says it does not. He writes that mitzvahs d'rabbanan are exactly the same as mitzvahs are men and women are equal.
If you go like the Kalbai, maybe.
Right, so maybe you can get a little more creative. So I gradually was thinking, maybe the kash is not terrible, because maybe Davud Raham will tell you like this. When it comes to the Raisa, So I can play off what the Torah tells me. I mean, if the Torah tells me women are part of all these mitzvahs, I'll say that's the reason. Maybe the Rabbanan didn't have that authority to start coming up with Shtickle Torahs with logic and reasons. I mean, maybe the Rabbanan didn't use... I mean, this is a chiddush to say that the Torah exempted women because they have shibudim to their husband.
Where do we have this exemption?
We don't. Exactly. Exactly. It was made up by the Torah. So it could be...
Wait, hold on. What do you mean it was made
up? We have a drush.
In Gemara that learned
right.
What, Sukkim?
We learned it from Sukkim, yeah.
Okay.
But it could be that Abudraham will tell you that that's very nice to, in the Torah's world. But when we rabbis sit down and make up rules, we can't think things like that. We don't have that authoritative power to make a cheshbon. Well, if it's going to impact your relationship with your husband, oh, I'm going to exempt you. Who gives you that? That's not the way we make up mitzvahs. When we make up mitzvahs, for the Jews. That's a different kasha. What happened to Kol Tikkun D'Rabbanan Kein D'Gerais? I agree with that. But so
Gusman, how does it work when the Torah gave us the mitzvahs? It gave it to everybody, and then it exempted women, or it didn't give it to women?
We'll talk about that a little bit more today.
There
might be. We'll see. We'll get to that a little bit. We'll see a mahalach today. Well, hopefully we'll get to it from Yitzhak Sirotskin. Has a whole shtickle Torah, exactly what you're discussing. Mamish, what you're discussing. Is the pshat, when the Torah gave the mitzvahs to men, it excluded women? Or was it structured slightly different? It wasn't excluding women. It was just not obligating women, but not excluding them.
And how would this fit in according to Rambam of Lo Sasser?
Oh, we'll get to that also today, Mr. Shem. We'll get to that also. We'll get to that. Yeah, we'll get to that. Oh, good. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. That's source four. We'll get to that, Mr. Shem. We'll get to all that, hopefully. Okay, but they were just copying what they saw from the Torah. They saw that Hashem did this, so they said, "Well, if it's good enough for Hashem, it's good enough for us." I would say maybe the Avud Raham will tell you, maybe not. Maybe Hashem can give you those types of leniencies, but we, the rabbis, can't.
Maybe it's offered the halacha of Moshe Sinai or something, but once you have a drasha,
yeah, but the drasha doesn't tell you why.
Right, so I'm saying it's not as strong. Meaning, you have the drasha, that's great, but you can't apply it to the drasha.
Exactly. Yeah. That's even if there's a reason. Right. Even if that's what I'm thinking, that even if there's a logical reason for the drasha, but that's what Gzeirat Kasuv means by definition. But let's finish Hishtikul Torah. So says Rav Gusman, so that's all fine for Tosfos. So what does Rashi hold? Ulam Rashi Sava Dizman Grom Eina Tam Lifter Ela Simin Ba'alma. Rashi holds that there's no reason to why we're not part of a time sensitive mitzvah. It's just a fact. She'ein Adoimil Tfilin, because it's not comparable to Tfilin, which is the Gemara's drasha. Uma Shaykh Simin Zebed Rabbonan. Says Rav Gusman, if this is all made up by the rabbis, what are you going to tell me? That we should pattern after that? It's a different pattern. The Torah gave you a list of mitzvahs, and it said all these mitzvahs, women are out. So you're going to tell me, oh, I'm going to follow that in the Rabbanan's mitzvahs? What gives you the right to use that pattern that the rabbis made up? What about our kasha of Kol Tikkun D'Rabbanan? Says Rav Gusman, Gam loy shaychi kla loymer al simin ba'alma Kol Tikkun D'Rabbanan ke'ein d'raisa tikkun. When something is only a simin, you can't say Kol Tikkun D'Rabbanan Kein D'Raisa Tikkun. It's nothing. It's just a fact, or maybe coincidence, that this whole list of mitzvahs, the Torah happens to decide to exempt women. And now you're going to say, well, I'm going to take that. What do you take that list? You have no right to take that list anywhere. That list was specifically designated for this group of mitzvahs. So therefore, says Rav Gusman, that's the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. So which comes out according to Rav Gusman, interesting thing, Rashi and Brachas holds that the reason why women are part of a mitzvah Shehed Angroma is not like Davud Raham and the reasons of time sensitive, nothing to do with that. It's basically we don't know why the Torah part of them, and therefore we have no right to expand it onto mitzvahs the Rabban.
Essentially because this list is formulated through...
Correct, there happens to be a common denominator in that list, which is all happens to be time sensitive, but says Rav Gusman, it doesn't mean anything.
Right, but, where do we learn the list out from?
So it's all...
It's not
halacha moshe b'sinai, right?
It happens,
they all have a common thread, but right. Still...
But Rabbanan prepared the
correct.
List.
That's right.
The same way they prepared the list.
Right, well, the list is really...
In the Derisa, they could carry that over.
That's what you can argue on. Mm-hmm. So again, just the takeaway from Rav Gusman is very geschmack. The Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos is, again, I don't think in the piece, again, you have to remember, Rav Gusman's pieces are massively long. This is Simon Yates, it's like, I don't know, 10 pages long. You got to hold cup through the whole shtickle. But I don't believe anywhere in that Simon he answers up Tosfos' kasha from Halal. He just gives you the lum d'shipshat. What's the lum d'shipshat? That Rashi that says there's no din zman grama by mitzvah d'rabbanan, he holds it to simon. And if it's a simon, you cannot take a simon of the Torah and apply it to a mitzvah d'rabbanan. While Tosfos holds, it's like Davud Raham, there's a siba, there's a reason, and that reason applies to mitzvah d'raisa as to mitzvah d'rabbanan. So that's one mahalach from Rav Gusman to be mazmer machlokes Rashi and Tosfos.
Rashi's hard to understand because the whole thing for d'rabbanan we thought was a gedder, protection for the essence of the mitzvahs we have.
Well, not for new mitzvahs, the Rabbanan.
But I'm saying the Rabbanan, what gives them the right? If God told us that the women need to be basically home and available, now I'm going to go ahead and go against the Torah.
So Rashi will tell you the Torah didn't tell me that. The Torah gave me a list of mitzvahs that they exempted women from. So that's it.
He's saying it's Siva?
No, he's saying Simen.
Oh, Simen.
Right, so that's a fact. So Rashi, I can't use that list of the Torah to apply to my rules. It's mixing apples and oranges. Okay, so let's see another mahal from the Or Avram. Okay, Michael, who is the Or Avram? Who is the Or Avram?
Gurwitz.
No. Gurwitz. Avram Gurwitz. Which Avram Gurwitz?
The one who was in Splitchery.
Correct. Not the one from England. The one that had
issues. You could ask him. Yeah, we split the credit on this.
Oh, is your Rebbe talking?
Okay, so let's add it in. He's really the Rosh Yeshiva in Reb Shalom Shachter's Yeshiva.
Correct. They split
people
already.
Don't know
they already split. Yeah.
Oh, they did? Reb Shalom split from Gurwitz?
I believe so. Oh, I'm not mistaken.
Reb Shalom, that was at Merkaz HaTorah?
Yeah.
Really?
Reb Yitzchak Kleiman's brother-in-law.
Yeah, that's right. These two started the Yeshiva. These two, both American Bachram, actually.
Yeah.
Both American boys. They started a yeshiva called Nishmas Moshe.
Was it a first group?
Well, originally it wasn't. Now it is a... Now it
came near Moshe.
Near Moshe. There
oh, Mishkan, it's a split tree.
Right. Now it's called... It's a third split off. From Itri, the third time. And now it's on the third time already.
Tripoli.
That's right. He got it writes a lot of Svarim. This Rebbe Von Gurwitz.
Shalom, this is 1972, so it's a long time ago. So he was a Rebbe. He was my Rebbe. On Erev Shabbos, he smoked a lot. Like...
Yeah. So did Rabbi Avram Gurwitz.
Like he was a real smoke. He had a big jug and he used to blow smoke in Shabbos into the jug.
Save it up.
And then on Shabbos
he'd open.
Wow.
Well,
I heard about this.
Yeah, a lot of Israelis used to.
You really did.
Wow. So he's still alive as far as I know.
No, he's alive. Baruch
Hashem.
Smoke is healthy.
I don't know about the smoking part, but. So he happens to write a lot of smoke.
Son, brother in law.
He writes.
Not related. He just gave the high. What?
He wasn't related.
He's not related to him. No.
He writes a lot of svarim, so I came across some of his svarim. So he has a.
Handwritten letters on aerograms from when I left yeshiva. We stayed in touch for a couple of
years. So now the yeshiva switched over. Now, now they became kachim. That's more stylish. He graduated. This was one of the first yeshivas that had all the facilities. They took care of the bachim like they have today in the Israeli yeshivas, the American Israeli yeshivas. You have a gym and you have meals and you have a dormitory. It was one of the yeshivas that had them. In any case, so he writes the shtickle Torah like this. Now that we know who he is, now we can see if we like the shtickle Torah or not. Okay.
So this is
Avram Gurwitz, number four. So he writes like this. He wants to come up with a different mahalach to explain the machlokes Rashi Tosfos. Another nice mahalach. He writes like this. He says, going back to what many of you already mentioned, we know that when you deal with the Rabbanon, you always get involved with the problem of Lois Sasser. Every time, why do I have to listen to the rabbis? Well, I don't have to listen to the rabbis. The answer is you do. It says in the Chumash, Lois Sasser. And we learn from there, the Gemara says in Shabbos, we learn from there that you have to listen to the Rabbanon. So he says like this. He's quoting from somebody. He says, number four, Lefizeh, Hari Shloima Dezehu Das Rashi. Maybe that's Pshana Rashi. But Ma Desvile, the Kivan Dechiv Atfila Avirak Mitzvah Midrabbanon. Maybe Rashi holds that since the chi of mitzvah is only drabbanon, imkin harei memelo lo yishayich loim rebezed to have a kimitzvah seishas magrama. You can't tell me that every drabbanon is like a mitzvah seishas magrama. Why? Do have ilav do lois osur. Every positive mitzvah drabbanon is attached to an alav. It's a part of it. Therefore, ubeloisase lo yishayich kaloi malai p'tur des magrama. We know that the whole p'tur of mitzvah seishas magrama is only when it's a mitzvah saseh. But when there's an alav attached to it...
It's attached to tefillah.
No. Every mitzvah d'rabbanan has a built-in lav called, you have to listen to what the rabbi said.
If you don't do it, there's
right.
a lav.
So therefore says, Rabbi Avram Gurwitz, like this, Rashi will tell you that when you have a mitzvah, I say midaraisa, so then the question is, women in or out? So we say, no, mitzvah says my grandma, women are potter. But when you come to a mitzvah, I say midrabbanan, what's the problem? Lurking in the background is a mitzvah, is a lav.
But isn't that true with mitzvah, I say
midaraisa? No. Not even like saucer. So it's just...
You have the putor.
It's a strange thing. We'll get to that in a second. One second. So let's just work this out for a second. So what's he suggesting? He's suggesting that maybe that's Pshat Rashi. The reason why Rashi tells you don't have the Torah of Zman Gerama on the Drabonon is because it's not just an assay. It's an assay plus a lav.
But he's saying there is no such thing as an assay alone.
Exactly. Because every Drabonon has a built-in lav. Right. Now, but one second. If they're putter, then there's no lav. Right? Meaning, once we exempted them, then they don't have a lav of voice saucer. So the answer is, you're right. The way you have to look at this is, I think this is what he'll tell you. He looks at it before we start. We come to the table. We say, listen, I have a mitzvah drabon. I want to know should women light Neres Chanukah. So if women light Neres Chanukah, they have a positive mitzvah to light Neres Chanukah, and then there's a lav. There's a loy saucer here. You have to listen to whatever the rabbi says. So every single time the rabbanan sets something up, there's always built into it, there's always attached to it, this loy saucer. And therefore, if you're going to exempt women from the assay, what do you do with the lav? Meaning it's an assay that's more chomer because it has an attached lav to it. So therefore, Rashi will tell you that that's why we can't exempt women from mitzvahs derabbanan. That's his mahalach.
Because
every mitzvah sasei derabbanan has an attached to it a lav.
Except if the rabbanan patterned you from
it. Yeah, the rabbanan set it up that way, that you're out.
Good, good. Yeah. We'll come back to that in a second. We'll come back to that in a second.
Also, maybe Afinos or Denes also, you can do Sim and Sima. Meaning,
which we probably do. We probably do that also. Yeah, I think so.
Right?
That might be telling the Machlokes
Rishonim. That it's a Mr. Presuming
Yishuv. Correct, correct, correct.
Not that it's a,
and that might be telling in the Bahag and everything and all that. Yeah, yeah, 100%.
So women, be, according to this, would be more Chomer.
Correct.
Chanukah than the men. Is the Raisa?
Right, that comes out. Right, it comes out that every mitzvah derabbanon, it's worse to be over derabbanon than it is to be over deraisa. If I don't put on tefillin in the morning, so I'm mevatel on asay. If I don't light Neiris Shabbos, so I was mevatel derabbanon and I was over a lav. That's what comes out.
Well, that's weird.
It's very strange, right? But that's the fact.
Can we pass him like that, Rambam? So
let's see. Let's work it out. So now, 1 second. So now, that's step number one. Okay, if you accept this, so far so good, right? It makes sense. Okay, we have this nekuda of, well, there's only a lav if there's actually an asay in the first place. But now he wants to take it a step further. He wants to now get to Tosfos' kasha. Tosfos had a kasha from Halal. Again, if Tosfos had a kasha from Halal, why are women part of a mahalo halza the rabbanon? Ubimash hikshu at taisis mahi matzlis in the mesecha sukkah. The mevorshim the notion of tourist mahalo the yom tovim. That mishnah that taisis quoted that women are part of a mahalo and yom tif. Va'akorche chaynu mishum the havis mangrama must be because of his mangrama. Va'af direi kolik echoves amiras hal biyom tov ein elam the rabbanon. Ah, taisis is kasha halal yom tov is only the rabbanon. V'imkein harei hu bechal alav the lois aser. Uba lois asei harei leshayachas mangrama. Meaning again. What's Rashi going to do with Tosfos' kasha? Very nice and lumdis, but what do you do with the Mishnah? According to Rashi, every derabbanon has attached to it a lav, and every time you have a lav, you don't have it towards mangrama. So why are women part of from halal when it should be chayiv and halal just like the chayiv and davening? So he says, Ula yeshloimar desvir lele Rashi, bazek kadas haramban. Sefer HaMitzvahs B'Shoi V'Sharishin Shekaz B'Shom Bein Dvarov L'Nichoy V'Samir Yishal B'Yomtev V'Zal L'Shoinai V'Anir M'Divreim Shu Menat Torah. Ah, Gishmak Achap. Maybe Rashi holds like the Ramban that Halal on Yomtev is Taka Midaraisa, not the Rabbanon. So if Halal is Midaraisa, not Midarabbanon, then there's no Loi Sosor on an Asay Midaraisa. So if there's no Loi Sosor on an Asay Midaraisa, then we do apply the rules of Mangroma, and Rashi works that very nicely. So that's what he wants to suggest. So that's, again, might be you have to work it out throughout Shas to know if this works out. But
so he shifts the halal into a doraisa.
That's right. Now
and therefore you could apply as the rules of the association.
And that's why the Mishnah says the potter. So everything's very nice, very gishmak.
Maybe lois saser is not included in any of his mangrama also.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. That's what Tosfos is going to hold, right? Wow. Meaning, let's go back a step. The assumption that he's making is that what? That Rashi holds, every derabbanan has lois saser. Every derabbanan has lois saser. So you have, by definition, you have a lav latched on here. Mm-hmm. That lav prevents you from exempting women. So what does Tosfos hold? Tosfos holds no lav of lois saser. So listen to what he says. This is the best part.
Just on this Nakuda.
Yeah.
So as I said earlier, why can't we say the get out of Rashi that he holds like the Ramban? It's everyone always in an Esara, and therefore davening is always Midoraisa, and therefore the women are Paturas because this was say Sarah's my grandma.
But it's not true. The Gemara says women are chayiv in davening. Right? The Gemara says women are chayiv in davening. So
right.
Question is why?
No, so
you're going to say that what if davening is like the other Ramban?
The other Ramban.
That whole Beit Sara davening is the Raisa.
Right.
So, yeah, good.
We hold that it's always Beit Sara. So
and then it has.
Then it flips into a Daraisa. So
yeah, then it has to help you.
No, so Rashi, the question was on Rashi.
The question was on from Howell.
Tosfos brings an
Halal. Right, Tosfos Kash from Halal. So Rashi, again, the Gemara says that women are chayiv davening.
Tosfos dealing with the Halal, which is Daraisa.
No,
we're
saying right, now that Tosfos is dealing with the Halal Daraisa.
Why do we say that Rashi is also dealing with Tefillah?
Rashi's not the Tefillah part is not the problem. The Gemara says women are chayiv davening. That's the Gemara. Question is why? So Rashi will tell you because davening is the Rabbanan, and on the Rabbanan there's no exemption of Zman Grama. You want to say that what women are chayiv in davening because it is daraisa,
right?
And then what?
So
So I'm not sure what you get. I'm not sure what you accomplish. I think you're right. I'm not sure what you accomplish. Right. I don't think we get. Right. Right. Now, here's the $1 million question. What does Tosfos hold in all this? We just explained Rashi. Rashi holds that every mitzvah saseid derabbanan has lois sasur, and that lois sasur prevents you from exempting women, and that's why Rashi holds what he holds.
There is no lois sasur.
On mitzvah derabbanan.
On mitzvah derabbanan.
No, that's against the Gemara.
The derabbanan would have established as a regular mitzvah on grama, follow the rules, and there wouldn't be lois sasur. The rabbis would say women don't have to do it.
Mitzvah right. So I think the way he's looking at it, I think it's not clear from the shtickle. I think he's looking at it when you look at every mitzvah derabbanan, be it soidoi, has an asein alav to it.
Yeah, but the rabbis could do what they want. So if they wanted it, make it a...
So Avada, once they exempt her, there's no lav. I agree with you. But we're talking about before that step. We're talking about when they set it up, it was set up with an asena lav. Once there's a lav there, then the rabbis no longer have the permission to... Meaning it's a shtickle catch 22 over here, right?
It's a shtickle catch. Right.
No, every derabbanan. That's what we're talking about. No, the kash that everyone's asking is, the lav only exists if the assay exists. And once we exempted women from the assay, then they have no lav. Agreed. We all agree.
That's a talking
thing.
Exactly. I think that's the... That might be the... That's right. Right. Meaning if we're talking before we start or after we started, that could be the machlokes rashi tosfos. That's one way. But let's just again. I just want to bring out this nekuda. According to Rashi, every derabbanan has a loisasur, and that loisasur is what prevents the p'tur of his man grum. So what does Tosfos hold? What does Tosfos hold about that? Tosfos holds no loisasur in a derabbanan. That's against the Gemara. The Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos that the reason why you have to listen to the derabbanan is because of loisasur. So he comes up with an interesting
chum. And Tosfos holds.
Tosfos holds there is Zman Groma, the Rabbanans are the same as their rice. There is no difference. The same rules apply for the Rabbanan, apply for the rice. So Rashi draws a distinction, and we're trying to figure out why Rashi draws that distinction. So we have one, we have so far our second Mahalach, that the reason why Rashi draws that distinction is because Rashi holds every mitzvah, say the Rabbanan, has a lav involved, and that lav is what stops you from using the regular rules of Zman Groma.
So why does that become a kasha on Tosfos?
So what? The one
that inherent in the mitzvah.
Okay, that's one way.
Is my grandma, and therefore Losos
good.
Doesn't come
back. That's one way to say. I think there might be another way of saying. Before we get to what the way he says it is, the other way you could say it is maybe there's a hakira about how loisasa works. Is loisasa a general terminology, or loisasa is directly attached to the mitzvah? Lahavdil. We had a similar hakira when we talked about hidden mitzvah.
That, then you can't learn Rashi that way.
That's right. That might be Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. If you remember when we learned hidden mitzvah in Rabbi Elazar Milu, we had the same hakira. Is hidden mitzvah a general rule? Every mitzvah do nicely, or each mitzvah that you come across is latched onto it the din of hidden mitzvah. So maybe if you learn that loisasa is attached to each mitzvah. Right. If it's mamish a part of every mitzvah comes along, every mitzvah the Rabbanan has with it, every mitzvah has a deraisa, has an asay and a lav attached to it. So that would be Rashi. Rashi saying that the lav is standing here and it's stopping me. If you don't like Tosfos, so maybe you can argue that since the lav is not directly attached to the asay, it's more of a dover chutz, it's on the outside.
What
so
does
then,
that mean?
I mean, it exists, the lav, avad yoivid lav, but it's not a chelik of the mitzvah, it's a secondary lav. It's not a chelik of the asay.
So if the Rabbanan then come in,
and then if the
it doesn't attach.
It's not a chelik of, meaning...
It's not a feature.
It's not part and parcel of the mitzvah. It's there in the background, but it's not front and center as part of the mitzvah.
So
maybe
it gives them an ability to be okay with that somehow.
Correct. They have a little bit more flexibility, perhaps. But let's listen to what he says. He writes like this. Skip to number 5. So again, so Nachman, so what's his other, again, what I like about this pshat is that we gain a teretz for Tosfos' kash. Rav Gusman's pshat, I don't believe we get a teretz to Tosfos' kash about halal. Rav Avraham Gurvitz's pshat, we chap a teretz to halal, and what's his teretz? His teretz is that halal Rashi will hold his derais. Now let's take a look at number 5. He said this, v'im kein, harei ula yeshlema, he wants to say like this, there's a famous raid, a lot of people had their bar mitzvah pshat on this topic. We'll come across this a little later on in the perek. When you have a mitzvah that has an asay and a lois asay, what is the role of that lois asay? Is that lois asay there to just strengthen the asay, or that lois asay is there to be there? What do I mean by that? Let's say, for example, you have a mitzvah where we can exempt the asay. What do we do with the lav? Let's say, for example, the mitzvah of makkah, to put up a roof around, put up a fence around the roof. So that's a mitzvah asay. It also has a lav. So where do women fall into that category?
The lav is if you don't do it.
You're not allowed to cause people to get harmed in your house. And it says,
that's a separate lav. That's not one of
those.
Right.
No, that's not a lois sasur. That's a built-in.
So that's a different
right? So that's a famous machlokes
Rishonim. And that's a deraisa.
That's a deraisa, 100%. Yeah. I'm talking about deraisa. So let's take an example, Hashavas Aveda. Right. Hashavas Aveda, you have an assay of returning, mm-hmm. and you have a lav of loisuchu l'salim. Right? No. Yeah.
You'll find that?
No, not in Zman Grom. You'll find it in non-Zman Grom.
How's that?
So let's see. So he writes this. Number five. V'im kein harei ula yesh loyma debidova zehu depligi rashi v'toysis kan. V'haynu. He says like this. Gevaldik. The das ha-toysvis, the af the mitzvah the rabbanon, I mean on the hype toward the mitzvah Zman Grom. Toysvis holds that even on a mitzvah the rabbanon, we still say that they're potter because it's Zman Grom. V'harei yesh loyma dehaynu shum desavi do ikar mitzvah the rabbanon haynu kiyem asei l'shmoy l'divi chachamim. If you look up the Gemara in Shabbos, when the Gemara says, why do you have to listen to the Rabbana? So the Gemara gives you two reasons. One is Loi Sasur, and the other is an Asay. You're supposed to listen to the rabbis. Here's a Pasuk and Navi. So Zok says, Reb Gorvitz, like this. What is the role of the Asay and the Lav in those two dinim? Meaning, we have an Asay to listen to the rabbis, we have a Lav not to listen to the rabbis. So is one...
Not to listen.
Loi Sasur means to...
Not.
You know what I mean? Right, exactly. So he says like this, very geschmack. When you have to ask yourself, what's the ikar reason? Is it the positive or is it the negative? Meaning, is it the main thing that the focus is to listen to the rabbis, or the main thing is the lois osser part?
If you could drop the lav.
So he writes like this. That's the machlekes. The shemay v'chol ikar ha'inyan halav the lois osser ha'inu kedei lechazek es ha'mitzvah. The lav is not just. The purpose of why the Torah was lasasa wasn't to make you over another Isra. It was to make sure you actually listen to the rabbis. The whole purpose of the lav was just to be mechazik v'asei. That was the purpose of the lav. Therefore, ha'inik lechazik ha'mitzvah, u'meila harim mikivin di'esh b'zeh tam lifter es ha'noshim in ha'mitzvah, mikivin d'haviz mangram, harei shuv ein b'zeh gam halav d'loisasa. Therefore, the lav also falls away. How can the lav fall away? Because the lav wasn't intrinsically on its own there. The lav was there just to strengthen the asei. But if there's no asay, then there's no lav either. Therefore, Rashi holds. I'm sorry. Therefore, Tosfos holds that when you have a mitzvah asay shas mangrom medrabon, of course there's loy sasur. But the loy sasur is not attached to it like a lav. Let's say, for example, in other areas, it's there just to make sure you do the asay. But if the rabbis exempted the women from the asay, then the lav falls to the wayside. Therefore, that's the machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Who kein mashe kosev a ritva, like we find in the ritva, the gabi hani mitzvahs, the hashavas haveda, shluach hakan, vasiyas maka, the ilu hoya hani mitzvahs zman groma. If they would be zman groma, they're not. If they would be zman groma, would women be chayiv in them? Interesting shiloh. We'll come back to this a little later. This is Ramban and Daflam Adala. We have to see, right? What happens? Let's say a mitzvah asay that has a lav and an asay in it. If it were to be zman groma, where would women be left?
It's strictly in that chakira.
They would not be potter.
So one would say, the chayyur telling this machlokes Rashi Tosfos, right?
I'm talking about the chakira
of Sibur Simin.
Whether it the lav supports.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Now it could be totally in the other chakira about Davud Ruham, Sibur versus Simin.
But you just said that it's not the same as Lo Tassur.
Right. I'm talking about. Let's say you have. Let's talk about something simple. Shluach Hakan, right? There's a mitzvah I say to do it, and there's a lav to do it the wrong way. So would women be potter from that mitzvah or not? If it were to be time sensitive. So on one hand you'd say...
But there's a lot to do it the wrong way, there's a lot to take it without sending away.
Right. Let's talk maka, keep it even simpler, right? There's an asay to build a fence, and there's a lot not to build a fence. So would women be obligated to build a fence? A lady builds a house, no husband in the picture, she wants to know if she's mechayev to put up a fence around the house. Assuming it would be zman grom. Assuming.
Go over the lot before somebody gets hurt, or only...
Yeah. You're over it by not doing it right away. You have to put it up. So what would a woman be? So we'd say one second. It's not Zman Groma. So let's say it would be Zman Groma. So you'd say on one hand, one second. It's time sensitive women are putter. But there's a lav there. So we need to deal with the lav. So this is a site in the Rishonim that the lav is only there to strengthen the asay. I mean, the Torah wanted to make sure you do the asay, they tacked a lav onto it. But let's say you can remove the asay, you remove the lav also. So it says, Rabban Gorvit, same thing with Loi Sasur. The Loi Sasur on the Rabbanan Mitzvah was not there on its own footing. It was there just to make sure you do the Derabbanan. But if you were exempt from the Derabbanan, then the Loi Sasur falls away. That's the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. So he says, Gishmak. He says, Hare, the Ilam, V'chol Ikar Inyan Alav Hurakadeh Lechazik Esasei. V'im Kain, Hu Adin Kan Hare Ikar Hu HaMitzvah L'Shmoyel Dibachachom. When it comes to the Derabbanan, it's not about the Loi Sasur. It's about the listening to the Rabbi. The Loi Sasur was there just to make sure you actually listen to them. V'halav de lois osur rak bo lechazek lahay asay. It's just here to strengthen the asay.
Kind of makes sense. You don't need that for the derisa.
What, lois osur?
You don't need a lav.
Because you listen on your own. Exactly.
Because it's a derisa.
Now, sometimes the Torah does do that. let's say by Maka and Hashavas Avedia, I guess mitzvahs that the Torah thought you'd be lazy about, the Torah did give you a lot. We're forcing you, meaning the Torah wanted to make sure you do a deraisa. So now he finishes up. Avol Rashi choylik b'zeh. Rashi disagrees. V'svirulein, he holds the mitzvah de Rabbanan harei hu ikar halav. No. Every mitzvah de Rabbanan has an asay and a lav independently. V'haydu de ikar hakpodas v'kavonas ha-toyr b'zeh hu b'mash e'ne mekayim hu mekabal l'divrei chachomim. No. He doesn't look at that the lav is complementing the asay. The lav is an independent thing. The rabbis want to make sure you don't not listen to the rabbis. The lav is standing strong, and if the lav is standing strong, it prevents you from using the rules of Zman Brahma. So according to him, it comes out like this. So what's the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos and Brachos? It's not so much Tali in Zman Brahma, it's Tali in how do you understand Loisosor by Mitzvahs Derabbanan. Rashi holds... Loisosor is a din deraisa attached to a Mitzvah Derabbanan.
So how you want to know? How do you understand when you have
a say in
the
law? Right.
And with
Lo Sosser, so,
how do you...
According to Rav Gorbitz, the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos and Brachos is not so much the longness of Zman Grama, it's more the Machlokes of how to understand the Mitzvah Derabbanan. Is a Mitzvah Derabbanan be Yisoydei and Asay to listen? Or is it more be Yisoydei a Lo Sosser not to listen, and therefore it's law based?
It still doesn't answer the question.
Yeah.
So the Rabbanan make a halacha, right, an Asay. And before they ever did that, there was Lo Sosser that said that if they ever make an assay, if you don't do that assay, you're getting a lav deraisa. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the lav came first, theoretically, right? That means the Torah, right?
Well, yeah.
Rabbanan never made the halacha.
Right.
Okay. So now they have to create an assay, which triggers the Lo Sosser if you don't follow
Correct. The
assay.
Correct.
But if they create the assay that has a built-in exemption,
but I think that's
Zman Grama, which they had the power to do, then the Lo Sosser just never applies.
Right. I think his assumption is that by definition that Lo Sosser is hovering in the background, meaning the Lo Sosser, and therefore whenever you have a mitzvah that has a lav attached to it, you have no right to exempt women. Everyone keeps on asking me, but it's only there if they're obligated. I agree with you. But again, the idea is that every mitzvah derabbanan be yisoydei starts off with a lav. So if it starts off with a lav, it's a mitzvah with a lav, a mitzvah with a lav that women are not exempt from.
I think you have to go back to the Rav Gusa. Do the rabbanan have the right to incorporate that pitur in their mitzvah?
That's a different way of looking at it.
Maybe that's what the Losar
is. That might also be a question. Right. I think you can discuss and debate that as well, 100%. So this is Mahalach number 2 in how to be Mazbe Machoikis Rashi Toysis. But again, this way we at least accomplished a teretz for Toysis Kasha.
What do you do with like an Oni who's potter from Mitzvah Sasei, but he's chayav in Mitzvah Slos Sasei?
Right.
You have that Shabbos Aveda, and he's going to Eretz Yisrael to bury his father, whatever.
Right.
I got to either return it now or not. I don't have a chiyuv to return it because I don't have a Mitzvah Sasei.
Aveda also has a Lo Sasei.
I should say the Lo Sasei, right.
100%.
Actually, now we told him this Machoikis Rishonim. If the Lo Sasei was there to be Mechazik Rasei.
Is that really what Toysis would hold or whatever? And that's, you don't have to be
plenty of Rishonim hold like that. Yeah, plenty of Rishonim hold. There's a Ramban like that. We'll hopefully get to it. That when you have a Lois Asay, again, you have to know why the Torah put the Lois Asay there. If it was there just to be Mechazik Asay, there's no Asay, then you're off the hook. Yeah.
Do we even know why the Torah does that?
We don't. We don't. We're kind of shooting in the dark a little bit.
I always thought there was a concept that women are chayiv in every mitzvah's Lois Asay. I never understood there was a distinction. Maybe that's what we're learning now.
No, but yeah.
That every Lois Asay that exists there, they don't have there for Torah.
Right.
Right?
But the question is, that's only if the Lois Asay is standing on its own 2 feet. But if the Lois Asay was only instituted to strengthen the Asay, and the Asay falls away, so then the Lois Asay falls away also. Now, how do we know why the Lois Asay was there? That we leave that up to
Rishonim. An Onain has to do Hashem
HaBasabed. But it's Machlokes Rishonim.
Because to avoid the Lois Asay.
The other Rishonim will say, no, there is no Lois Asay here. The Lois Asay is only to make sure you do the Asay.
I guess you can give it to somebody else.
Right. But again, according to many Rishonim, there is no Lois Asay in that case. Because the Lois Asay was only there to strengthen the Asay, but there is no Asay, so there's no Lois Asay.
There's no Asay because you're not.
Because you're not. A person's Oinin, or let's say a woman would be put, or whatever the case may be.
Don't we always say, Surmay Rav Asay Tov, so first get rid of the Lois Asay?
Yeah. Again, I don't know why the Rishonim, or how the Rishonim knew what the role of a Lois Asay is, but somehow they knew that these mitzvahs, the Lois Asay was there just to be Mechazik Asay. So let's go back to the Gemara for a second. Okay, these are two nice Mahalchim, very Gishmak, but we'll see there's not, again, still problems over here. No, they're nice. I think they're very nice mahalchim. What I like about the mahalach of Rav Gorbitz, it's a shas sugya, meaning he opens up to Lo Sosser, he gets involved in other sugyas. It's a very nice yisoidis. But there's a fundamental problem over here with the Marsha points out at number 6. Again, if Rashi holds that women are potter, that when it comes to a mitzvah de Rabbanan, women are obligated in every mitzvah de Rabbanan like men are, and there's no exemption of time sensitivity, so that's why women are chayim in davening, right? Because davening is a mitzvah de Rabbanan, and every mitzvah de Rabbanan, there's no exemption of time sensitivity. There's one problem. Frek de Marsha, so why does the Gemara say, derachamim ninu? Who needs rachamim ninu? It sounds like the Gemara has to give us a reason, a justification to why women are chayim in davening. What's the justification? Oh, because davening is rachamim, and rachamim is very important, therefore women have to daven. Forget that. Women have to daven because they have no exception not to daven. Again, according to Rashi, anytime you have a mitzvah derabbanan, men and women are equal. So if men and women are equal, I don't need any reasons to tell me why women are obligated. Women are obligated because men are obligated.
So would this mean that it's a sibur, not a siman?
I have no. We're explaining.
Because you're giving a reason for it.
No, but the question is over here. You don't need a reason according to Rashi. You only need a reason when you have an exemption, and I have to override that exemption with a reason. Like afen by
sinais. But you're saying if not, the rabbanon wouldn't have been misakin. That means you're giving a reason.
No, but that's the kash. The kash over here is why did Rashi have to give a reason? If Rashi holds that every mitzvah says she's mangrom med rabbanon women are potter, the chayv. So they start off the same reason as men. So why does the Gemara have to give me a reason why women are chayim?
Maybe rachamim ninu applies to men and women. That's the whole reason Rabbanan is stupid tefillah.
Okay, good. So now we're getting
deep. Rachamim ninu meant the race.
No. Rachamim ninu means that davening is rachmanis. It's important. Ask mercy. No. Rashi still holds davening to Rabbanan. Right? So if Rashi holds davening only to Rabbanan, so Rashi will she possibly hold every day Rabbanan, women are obligated. So if women are obligated, why do we need the sword of rachamim?
Rachamim is speaking on the chayim betfilah.
Right.
It's not talking about men.
No, it's talking about women. I get it. So let's see the Marsha. Zok the Marsha, number 6. Umihu itzrich l'meim b'derachamim ninu. You still need to come on to the svar of rachamim. Because if not for that, lo yahavi mitakni rabbonan tefila b'noshim v'avodim. The rabbonan would have not been misakin that women should daven. What's the obvious kasha? Why not? You don't need a reason. Again, according to Rashi, once you told me it's a mitzvah of rabbonan, men and women are equal. If men and women are equal, I don't need a reason to make them obligated. They're obligated for the same reason men are obligated. To pell them, I'm sure.
So maybe the Rabbanu would have said that we understand this concept of Zman Chama, right? In the Torah, there's that concept.
Correct.
Every other mitzvah, Sukkah, Lulav, Shof, all that stuff, it happens once a year or for a couple days a year. So you could, as the Rabbanu, say, we're not going to give them that benefit for Rabbanu's. But davening is three times a day, like takes up the whole day. So
and
they might have said, for that particular mitzvah, we think that there should be a Zman Grama because it's impossible for them to be Mekayim it because of the concept of Zman Grama. We're not going to apply it to other things. We're not going to give them that exemption to other Drabbanas. But for this one, it's just all consuming that it wouldn't make any sense to make them do it. So there was an exception for that.
So
it's almost like the original.
Again, what you gain by your pshat is you would answer Taisus's kashya. Taisus had a kasha from Halel, right? Because Taisus's kasha from Halel is not shver, because according to what you want to say, again, I think we have to develop this a little better. It comes out, what David wants to suggest is that maybe Rashi will tell you not all mitzvahs are created equally.
But that's what he said started, you see. It might be different for all
Right.
Can't you also say that men have a different chiyuv than women? That men have a chiyuv, in other words, they have a chiyuv, let's say, to do the mitzvah. Women, it's just a reshus, and therefore, if they don't have to...
Let's go back a step. Let's go back a step. Again, if women...
We both have to do it, but there's a different reason why we have to do it. We're more mitzvah in it. They have it out.
Rabbi said, let's go back to the beginning. If you go like Rashi, according to Rashi, whenever the mitzvah is the Rabbanan, there is no exemption of women.
And there's no difference between men and women.
Then there should be no difference between men and women. So my kash is, and Mashal's kash is, so why did the Gemara say Rachamim? So
because
David wants to suggest...
That was like the Uber's mantra.
Right, so David wants to suggest a swear like this, that maybe even Rashi agrees that some mitzvah is the Rabbanan, we do apply Zman Grama to. And you'll have to know why, when, whatever. You have to work it out. And therefore, rachamim ninu is the answer. Is what? That don't try to tell me over here to apply Zman Grama, even though this is probably the most Zman Grama you can find because rachamim ninu. Right? Okay, so kabi mahalach. Again, you have to work out a lot of other things, but it's something to think about. It would mean that according to Rashi, not all mitzvahs the Rabbanu follow the same rule. Okay,
right. And the Rabbanu could have said, we have a mitzvah.
and this is for men. We have a mitzvah, it's for men and women.
Probably wrong.
But again, when they started from the scratch.
For no reason other than they said something.
No, but.
Not Siba.
But the problem is that you're going to run into a wall a little bit unless you start making these chalukim between this mitzvah and that mitzvah. Right, there's no, what's no. Okay, so the Marsha's kasha is very strong. What's the Marsha's kasha? The Marsha's kasha is that according to Rashi, you don't need the words rachamim ninu. Now maybe you'll tell me Rashi didn't have those words. So take a look at number 7. Look at Rashi. Hachi garsinon, tefila derachamim ninu. So there goes that option, okay? I can't tell me that Rashi wasn't gairus those words, because Rashi has those words. But like gairus pshita the halav deraisa. So Rashi does tamper with the girsa. He takes out the words pshita, and he takes out the words ma'al desema, but he keeps the words rachamim ninu. He has those words, Rashi. So if Rashi has those words rachamim, why does Rashi need them? According to Rashi, women are obligated in davening, just like men are obligated in davening. Now you could tell me that maybe rachamim ninu is just the general reason why you have to daven, both men and women. It's just the general reason why Chazal instituted davening. Maybe. And therefore, it's not such a kasha. I mean, when the Gemara says rachem ninu, it's not discussing specifically women. It's a general idea in davening. Davening is rachemim, and that's why all genders are obligated, and there's no difference between men and women. From the Gemara, no, we don't have it. The little aleph in the bach.
Oh, so we're going with this.
But he talks out pshita maldesema, but he has the rachemim ninu.
Yes, but our Gemara goes with his gersa without pshita.
Right, but he still has the maldesema, so it doesn't help you. Doesn't help you too much. Now, take a look over here, number 8. The Tais of Yehuda Sirlion. Yehuda Sirlion was one of the French, I guess his name gives it away, right? One of the French Balia Taisvis. He was actually a Talmud of the Ri, and he was a Mishpacha of the Ri, who was Rashi's grandson. He was one of the Chashiv of French in Paris. He died, and again, beginning of the 1200s, he had a famous Talmud who took him over in Paris, known as Rabbi Chilmi Paris. We know him because we spoke about him in 1242, the book burning, and all that. So that was his famous Talmud. But the problem is with the Taisib, he was regular Balei HaTaisvus, but we only have his stuff on Brachas. We don't have Taisib, we don't have Rabbi Yehuda Sirlion on Ksubas. We don't have it. Maybe they'll find it one day, but right now we only have Rabbi Yehuda Sirlion on Brachas. Okay, so look at what he writes over in number 8. Again, Balei HaTaisvus, the late 1100s. We're talking about one of the relatively early Balei HaTaisvus. So he writes like this. He says, V'Rashi Pirish, he quotes our Rashi, but Rashi says, number 8, Dr. Yehuda Sirlion, the Rashi pirish the loy garsinim pshita. Rashi says, we don't have the word pshita. After the Gemara told me that women are chayiv in davening, so one girsa was, of course women are chayiv in davening. Why shouldn't women be chayiv in davening? Rashi didn't have that. Why? The halav daraisi. Because Rashi held it's not daraisa, it's only drabbanon, and therefore since it's only drabbanon, there's no din and zman gram on a mitzvah drabbanon. Says Taisvis Yehuda Sirlion, miu ein zetam. It's not a good reason. Da'ika halal drabbanon upturoi. So first he asks Taisvis is kasha, or about halal, which is drabbanon, and then he says v'chein dalit kaisis u'mikra megillo v'nechanika ilav taima shahayu bois aneis kid be rashnu. He asks the million-dollar question that everyone keeps on asking. According to Rashi, why do I need reasons for those mitzvahs? Why does the Gemara tell me that women are chayiv in their Chanukah, women are chayiv in Megillah, women are chayiv in Dal Kaisis because of Afhein Bois Haneis? I don't need reasons. Why? Because all of those are mitzvahs derabbanan. Mitzvahs derabbanan, women are automatically obligated. So how does Rashi learn those Gemaras? So I told you the Kasha, I first found it in the Sholem Eishiv of Nathanson, and I was happy to find it. So we shine him as this Kasha already on Rashi. We showing him ask, how could Rashi have said that there's no p'tur zman grom on a mitzvah d'rabbanan? What do you do with all those gemaras and shas where the gemara seems to have to give you a reason why women are obligated in these mitzvahs? Who needs a reason? Women should be obligated just because they're equal to men because they're all d'rabbanan.
So there's only four categories. There's only four.
Yeah, there's only.
Right, there's tefillah, arba kosos,
Chanukah, and Megillah. That's it.
So, okay, so there's only four. So maybe there's something about those four.
Exactly.
That were special.
That's what we got to figure out. Now, I came up with a mahalach, but my mahalach would only answer for Megillah. If you go like the old Bahag, Megillah Dav Dalet, right, we all know that we spoke about this many times. The Bahag and Megillah Dav Dalet has a chiddush that women have a different chi of Megillah than men. They don't have a chi of Kriya, they have a chi of Shmiya. So then maybe you can say that the svar of Afen Bais Anais was not used to make women obligated. It was to make women obligated differently than men. Maybe that's how Rashi will learn.
Why would you do that if not for
mitzvahs?
That's kash number one. And kash number two is, what do you do for the other mitzvahs?
Yes.
It's not like women in Dal Kaisis have a different chiv than men in Dal Kaisis. When it comes to Dal Kaisis, they all have mitzvah to drink it. It's not like, well, he has a chiv to drink it and she has a chiv to look at it. So the hope shot doesn't work.
Is that the same complaint?
Why can't you say the same thing for Hanukkah?
So, but we don't know that it's true for Hanukkah. The assumption about Hanukkah is men and women are the exact same chiyuv, both to be madlik and menorah. So my shtickle Torah doesn't work because it doesn't fit for all other mitzvahs. So
well,
let's.
Why is the same Torah just doing your marsha? Do you love achi?
But
why? Misaki rabbana?
Why?
Give me a reason. That's so wrong to go ahead and say why we're doing these
things. But according to Rashi, you don't need that.
But I'm saying, how did we answer it?
We didn't. We didn't yet. We're still in process.
Oh, I thought we.
We're still in process. No. I was just building up more questions.
Oh.
We're piling up questions on Rashi. That's what next week is for. So again, so we'll leave off with this for next week in Mitzvah Shem, and we'll see, hopefully next week, we'll see Mahal and answer a lot of these problems.
In the meantime, do I have wives davening this week or not?
You try
as if
wife,
they're going to listen to us anyways.
Telling your wife not
but Lamaisa, the problem with Rashi is first of all, Yehuda Salion's kasha is very strong, and the Marsha's kasha is very strong. Now what? According to Rashi, why do I need any fancy reasons to be mechayiv a lady in a mitzvah, the rabbanon, that's time sensitive, they should be equal to men. So mitzvah from next week, we'll see from Rabbi Yitzchak Sarotzke the mahalach, then we'll see mahalach from the Shalom Eishu, and then we'll move on to the next topic, is how to define a zman grama. What makes a mitzvah zman grama? Is it because the mitzvah only comes around X amount of time? Or perhaps other factors can create a mitzvah cessation zman grama? Mitzvah Shem, we'll get to that, believe that, the next week. This Tuesday, we're going to have regular halacha shir Tuesday night. We're finishing up lefties. That's going to be at 8 o'clock in Mr. Shem here and in person on Zoom as well.